The human life begins factually at birth. It does not begin symbolically until sometime later, when events transform a mere existence into a story. Take me, for example. I was born on May 5, 1971, but the story of my life, as I tell it, does not begin until 17 years later, on May 21, 1988, which is the day I discovered I was a coward. The scene of this unfortunate revelation was Hanover, New Hampshire, a bosky little college town in the western part of my home state. I was there with my fellow Bobcats of Oyster River High School to compete in the 9th annual Hanover Invitational, a big regional track meet. Around 3 o'clock on a mild but overcast afternoon, after most of the other events had been contested, an official raised a megaphone to his lips and in a strong Yankee accent, all nasal A's and silent R's, spoke the words that precipitated my undoing as a young athlete. First call, boys, 3,200 meters. First call, boys, 3,200. Competitors should warm up and make their way to the start line for check-in. A colony of bats took wing in my gut as I rose from my seat on a grassy area outside turn 3 of the host school's state-of-the-art 8-lane rubberized track, half-hearing muttered wishes of good luck from a couple of teammates. My legs went noodly, and my tongue turned to cotton. Running competitively over long distances is a lot like dangling by your fingertips from a cliff's edge, with certain death below. Except it's your entire body that feels as though it's losing its grip. No runner finds pleasure in this doomed sense of strained weakening, but some young runners handle it better than others. Those who possess what exercise scientists refer to as a low tolerance for perceived effort tend to quit the cross-country team after the shock of their first hard interval workout or race. At the other extreme, a special few runners seem not to problematize these unpleasant feelings at all, but instead just accept them, operating under the attitude that, as legendary Australian running coach Percy Cerruti put it, it's only pain. And then there are those who neither flee to another sport nor shrug off the pain, but instead, for whatever reason, and there's really no way to tell if one is predisposed, develop an immoderate dread of this unique brand of suck, a fear so intense that it leads eventually to avoidance behaviors, ranging from reduced effort — your coach might not notice the difference between 95 and 100%, but you sure as hell do — to faked injuries. These runners are known within the sport as head cases, and I was one of them. I hadn't always been. The previous year's Hanover Invitational had been an occasion of personal triumph. As a 10th grader, I'd placed 6th in the 3,200 meters, crossing the finish line a few ticks under 10 minutes, a huge personal best. While this performance did not quite mark me as a future Olympian, it impressed Coach Bob Rothenberg at Brown University, my first choice college, enough to tell me when I visited the campus in the fall of 87 that if I was able to lower my time in the same event by 15 or 20 seconds before I applied, he could all but guarantee admission. My grades and SAT scores were solid. Rothenberg had intended these words as an encouragement, but they signaled the beginning of the end of my sporting aspirations. It wasn't the pressure they imposed that did me in. So-called chokers, who fear failure and cave under pressure, are an entirely different breed of headcase. The true seed of my athletic demise, rather, was what my prospective future coach's articulated standard required of me. To meet it, I had to not only mature physically, which was a given, and step up my training, which was doable as I ran just 35 miles per week as a sophomore, but also try even harder and suffer still more in races. And these demands turned out to be deal breakers. Where the running cliff-dangling analogy falls apart is at the fact that in a race, the alternative to hanging on is not certain death. It's relief. The suffering you endure in a race, like the 3,200-meter run that I had just been called to check in for, is self-imposed. You choose it. But the choice is not binary. To suffer or not to suffer, there are infinite degrees of trying and suffering. At no point during such a race, except in the final sprint to the finish, are you trying as hard as you can. You're pacing yourself, saving a little something for that final sprint.